Part 4. Treatments for BPD. In this part, we target 5 major problem areas that most people with borderline personality disorder, BPD, have to deal with. We show you how to borrow strategies from an array of effective treatments to address each of these areas. Although we don't intend these treatments to be standalone means of self-help, you can collaborate with your therapist in the use of these techniques. We also discuss the role that medication may play in the treatment of BPD. Chapter 15. Inhibiting Impulsivity. In this chapter, identifying your impulsive profile, evaluating and inhibiting impulsivity, finding healthy alternatives to impulsivity. Impulses are all about feeling an immediate need to get what you want. Throughout life, many people with borderline personality disorder, BPD, listen to other people tell them that what they want or think they need isn't appropriate, that somehow their needs are wrong. However, that's not true at all. For the most part, people with BPD want the same things that other people do. They want to be happy. They want people to care about them. They want to get rid of bad feelings. They want to experience pleasure. People with BPD generally don't have inappropriate desires, but they do typically want to meet their desires completely and immediately, which leads them down a primrose path that often ends in calamity. As you probably already know, an impulse is a desire, urge, or want, and impulsivity describes the way in which people act on impulses. For example, imagine that you stroll into a jewelry store and have an impulse to own a beautiful diamond brooch. If you choose to smash the glass case, grab the brooch, and run, you're experiencing impulsivity. In chapters 3 and 5, we discuss impulsivity, a common symptom of BPD. People who are impulsive don't take time to think about their actions before they do them, which often leads to all sorts of trouble. In this chapter, we show you how to increase your awareness of your own impulsivity and the consequences you experience as a result of your impulsive actions. Armed with this awareness, you can step back from your impulsivity and reflect on all your options. We give you tools to help you put the brakes on your impulsivity. Finally, we suggest some healthier ways to meet your needs. Increasing your awareness of impulsive behavior. Before you can change something in your life, you first have to be aware that it exists. When people with BPD act impulsively, they often report very little awareness of several critical aspects of their impulsive behavior, including what they did, how they felt, what their goals were, what triggered their impulsivity in the first place. Instead, they report that they have only vague memories of what they did, their feelings at the time, what they wanted to happen, and what led to their behavior. They rarely reflect on these issues and don't ponder whether they met their goals because they usually don't remember what their goals were. Change begins with monitoring all the aspects of impulsivity that you experience. Awareness alone helps you start putting the brakes on your impulsive behaviors. Tip: we recommend that you listen to Chapter 5 to understand the full range of impulsive behaviors that people with BPD often engage in. Hearing about what others do may help you identify which problems with impulsivity you have. After you recognize which impulsive behaviors you exhibit, you can start to change them. Write down your impulsive acts. Writing about your impulsivity can help you organize your thoughts and feelings in preparation for change. You can use the blank impulsive awareness form as you work through the steps in this section. The directions for this form follow. Warning: some of the steps in self-monitoring that we describe next may feel difficult, if not impossible, for you to do right now. That's okay. Try to do the parts you think you can do. Over time, you can probably go through more and more steps. Also, As with most exercises in this book, you're likely to get more out of them by doing them, or at least discussing them, with a mental health professional. The following steps can help you monitor, and thus increase your awareness, of your own impulsivity. 1. Describe each time you act impulsively, without thinking. Some examples of common impulsive behaviors include self-harm, spending sprees, gambling, shoplifting, binge eating, reckless driving, reckless sex, and substance abuse. Impulsive behaviors can involve almost anything you do without thinking, especially actions that result in direct or indirect harm to you or someone else. In your description, include details about what you did. 2. Recount where you were and what you were doing before you acted impulsively. Were you at work, with a boyfriend, at a party, in a bar, or sitting at home watching television when you had your impulsive urge? This information can help you see what situations trigger your impulsive behavior. 3. Explain how you felt before you acted impulsively. Common feelings before exhibiting impulsive behaviors include the following: bored, excited, anxious, sexy, jealous, critical, envious, ashamed, needy, guilty, afraid, numb, angry, unreal, vulnerable, disconnected, upset, resentful, sad. 4. Write down what you thought or hoped would happen as a result of your impulsive behavior. For example, you may have thought you would feel less bored, more connected, or more real. You may have thought you would feel more in control of a social interaction, less jealous, or less angry. Ask yourself what possible goals you wanted to accomplish through your impulsive behavior. 5. Express how you felt after the impulsive behavior. Did you achieve your goals? You may find that although you experience a momentary high or rush during your impulsive action, your feelings quickly return to neutral or get worse after you complete the action. Common feelings after impulsive actions include guilt, shame, remorse, regret, self-loathing, and a sense of isolation. Whatever feelings and outcomes you experience, jot them down. A case study using impulsivity awareness forms. Destiny, a young married woman with BPD, struggles with impulsivity. The following story takes a look at her experience with impulsivity and depicts several typical impulsive acts and their associated triggers, feelings, and outcomes. At her therapist's suggestion, she fills out several impulsivity awareness forms on the incidents. Destiny and her husband Scott live in a large home nestled in the mountains overlooking Tucson, Arizona. The surrounding community knows well their catered parties with great local entertainment and plenty of alcoholic beverages. The morning after their parties, a few of the guests usually find themselves asleep in guest rooms, on couches, and even sprawled out in sleeping bags. Scott, a retired military officer, likes his guests to have fun, but doesn't let them drink and drive. Destiny has settled down some since her wild years. She likes having a husband, even though he's a lot older than she is. She likes not having to worry about money and enjoys the attention Scott lavishes on her. Tonight, they're having their annual summer party. Destiny applies the finishing touches to her makeup and asks Scott to latch her new necklace. "Wow," Scott looks at her appreciatively. "You look really hot. The guys won't be able to keep their eyes off you. Do you think that dress may be a little low cut?" Destiny gives him a full-body hug and says, "It's all for you, babe." She can't help but feel excited at the idea of men fawning over her. She hasn't had an affair in over a year and yearns for both the danger and the thrill. After all, She's been feeling a little bored lately. After the party's underway, Destiny notices Stephen, an old friend, standing with a woman she doesn't recognize. Although she's never had a relationship with Stephen, she immediately feels jealous because they're obviously close to each other. She feels an urgent desire to capture Stephen's attention. She strolls over to Stephen and kisses him on the cheek, pressing her breasts into his chest. The kiss lasts a bit too long. "Who's this?" Destiny asks Stephen, pointing to his guest. "She looks a little bookish to me." "This is Stacy, my new girlfriend," he responds. Destiny says, "Hi, Stacy. I need to talk to Stephen for a moment. It's personal. You're not the jealous type, are you?" Stacy stammers, No, that's fine, of course. I see someone I know across the room." After she's alone with Stephen, Destiny says, "How about you lose her and we go upstairs for a while? My husband is busy and drunk. He won't notice. And here Stacy looks boring anyway." Stephen, looking shocked, says, "Destiny, no. You're an attractive woman, but I can't do something like that. What's gotten into you? You're married. I went to your wedding." Destiny, now furious, storms into the kitchen and starts drinking scotch. After tossing down a tumbler full of the whiskey, she looks for another male target. The first guy she finds is as drunk as she is and readily accepts her invitation for a quick encounter upstairs. Afterward, she feels horrible and retreats to her own bathroom. Crying, she sits on the edge of the tub and slices her thighs with a razor blade. Destiny has an appointment with her therapist 2 days later. She feels horrible and ashamed. Her therapist suggests that she fill out 4 separate impulsive awareness forms to help them identify and study her impulsive behaviors. From this form, Destiny discovers that parties, boredom, and even a little alcohol can all trigger her impulsive behavior. She also sees that she didn't feel better afterward. In fact, she felt angry. Her next impulsive awareness form helps her understand her impulsivity even more. Destiny and her therapist talk about how impulsive drinking leads to even more impulsive behavior. Destiny initially felt that the drinking helped her achieve her goals, and, in actuality, it did for a short while. But drinking also led to a much darker outcome, sex with a virtual stranger. Destiny sobs as she goes over her third form with her therapist. She can see that her momentary impulses led her to feel worse about herself, and that, in the long run, they don't help her get anything she wants. For the first time, she confesses to her therapist that she cuts herself when she feels shame. Destiny's evening went from bad to worse, thanks to her long string of impulsive behaviors. Some very short-term benefits, such as brief relief from upsetting feelings, may occur as a result of impulsive behavior, but the gains are fleeting and usually just lead to more impulsive behavior. Impulsivity starts in the brain. Think of your brain as being a system of many interconnected areas. To effectively plan ahead and prevent impulsivity, your brain has to put the brakes on all these areas so that you don't act before you think. For example, one area in your brain keeps track of memories of the past. Another area of your brain deals with thoughts about the future. And another area processes what's going on in the present moment. Finally, a fourth area considers and integrates the implications of the past, present, and future, and then makes a decision. Managing all these areas is a difficult task for many people to handle, not just folks with BPD. For example, a small, turtle-paced town outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico, called Corrales, contains only one long road that winds through the centuries-old business district. Galleries, antique stores, restaurants, and professional offices fill the town. Small streets, some dirt, some paved, intersect the main street and take the residents to their homes. On these side streets, The speed limit ranges from 15 mph, miles per hour, to a brisk 25 mph. Numerous dedicated police officers in patrol cars park under and behind huge cottonwood trees along the small streets. The crime rate is fairly low in Corrales, so these officers monitor car speeds to pass the time. As a result, most residents have learned to drive slowly and enjoy the sunshine. You may wonder what this small town has to do with impulsivity. Well, people in Corrales usually think about past tickets and their repercussions, ponder the future effects of increased car insurance rates, notice the abundance of police cars as they drive, and adjust accordingly. However, from time to time, some non-residents, as well as a few impulsive residents, can't resist the urge to zip along the little winding roads. They aren't stupid. Their brains simply don't put the brakes on their actions by reflecting on the past, present, and future implications of speeding. Putting the brakes on impulsivity. People with BPD who experience the symptoms of impulsivity find themselves getting into trouble. This trouble can range from having minor arguments with partners to ending up handcuffed in the back of a police car. Thus, for many people with BPD, part of their recovery must focus on slowing down their impulsivity. In this section, we offer the following four strategies to help you or someone you love control impulses. Putting time on your side. Putting your impulses off. Doing something different. Fire drilling. Putting time on your side. People with BPD who act impulsively often regret their actions, eventually. Affairs, substance abuse, self-harm, and other risky behaviors usually have negative outcomes. But remorse comes the morning after, or, at times, even later. The following strategy takes advantage of these feelings of regret by bringing them to the surface before the impulsive action takes place. If you figure out how to slow down and consider the consequences of your impulsivity, you won't find yourself sliding down the slippery slope as often. We start by providing the instructions for how to use your regret to help manage your impulsivity, and then we give you a real-life example to clarify the technique. Taking a moment to ask yourself some questions before you act is one way to help you bridle your emotional impulses. Write out the following questions on a piece of paper or small calendar, or input them into your cell phone or personal digital assistant, PDA. When you have a strong desire to engage in impulsive behavior, take a minute to consider these questions and think about your responses. How important is doing this action to me? If I go ahead and do this action now, how will I feel about it tomorrow? What are the long-term consequences if I continue this action? How will I feel tomorrow if I don't carry out this impulse right now? This question-response strategy isn't always easy to implement. Obviously, impulsivity involves acting without thinking, and not surprisingly, these questions require thinking. If you take the time to think before you act, many times you won't do something that can lead to long-term trouble. However, don't expect that the questions will just pop into your mind. We encourage you to write them down for a reason. If you have a habit of impulsivity, you need time and effort to break this habit. The following story about Justin illustrates how asking these four questions helps him consider the consequences of his impulsive behavior. He isn't quite ready to commit to never smoking marijuana again, but the strategy plants the seed in his mind. Justin, a young adult with BPD, abuses marijuana. He often smokes in his garage after work. He is a licensed electrician and makes good money. He has a juvenile record for drug possession, but he's never been caught as an adult. He believes the marijuana helps him stay calm and control his anger. His employer conducts random drug tests, and Justin knows that he can lose his job if he fails the drug test. He started therapy a couple of months ago after his boyfriend left him. His therapist suggests that he try answering some questions the next time he feels an urge to light up. The following answers are what he comes up with. How important is doing this action to me? Well, it feels important because it's something I want to do, and I'm not sure what else to do to stay calm if I don't smoke. But I guess in terms of my life as a whole, it isn't all that important. If I go ahead and do this action now, how will I feel about it tomorrow? I know the answer to this one. I try not to think about tomorrow, but I know that every time I smoke, I feel guilty and stupid for having spent the money and taken the risks. What are the long-term consequences if I continue this action? I can lose my electrician's license in the blink of an eye. I can even go to jail. Ugh. How will I feel tomorrow if I don't carry out this impulse right now? That's an interesting question. I admit the few times I stopped myself, I felt pretty darn proud of myself. I didn't actually feel more tense or angry without the marijuana. As Justin discusses these responses with his therapist, he expresses some interest in quitting marijuana for the first time. He tells his therapist that he appreciates her for not telling him to quit smoking and, instead, helping him see the problems smoking can and does cause in his life. Later, he says he's interested in changing some of his other impulsive behaviors too. If you engage in impulsive behaviors, consider writing answers to these four questions about your own specific impulses. We aren't trying to make you quit, but you may find that discussing your answers with a therapist makes you think twice about giving in to every impulse. Putting off your impulses. You may feel that you're not ready to stop your impulsive behaviors after trying the preceding strategy, or you may not be convinced that you can actually stop, even if you do want to. No problem. We offer a second strategy for you to try out here. This strategy involves experimenting with your impulsive behaviors. When you feel an urge to do something impulsive, such as shoplift or cut yourself, see what happens when you delay going through with the urge. See Chapter 5 for a full list of impulsive behaviors. For example, if you have an urge to drive recklessly, try to drive like everyone else for 15 minutes first, and then see how you feel. Or, if you have an impulse to gamble, try waiting for a half hour or more before you go to a casino. Over time, lengthen these delays to an hour or even a day or two. Doing so can help you build up your ability to tolerate frustration and delay gratification, both of which are key elements to a healthy personality. See Chapter 2 for more on healthy versus unhealthy personalities. After some practice with delaying your impulses, you may discover that you don't miss your impulsivity as much as you thought you would. Warning: just because we don't tell you to stop engaging in potentially destructive behaviors immediately doesn't mean we give you permission or encourage you to continue to do them. We simply recognize that some people aren't ready or willing to stop these actions. In these cases, starting with delay tactics often helps bring people to the realization that stopping their impulse behaviors is within their reach. Doing something different. When you feel a strong desire to do something without thinking, doing something completely different from what your impulse tells you to do can help quell the urge. The best way to use distraction as a strategy is to plan ahead. What are some activities you like to do that keep your mind focused? Taking part in these activities can help prevent you from doing the impulsive act. Everyone has a list of distracting activities they enjoy. Here are a few examples of activities that can help focus your attention away from the impulsive act: going for a walk or jog, watching a movie, knitting or crocheting, making a collage of how you're feeling, have some old magazines on hand, going to the gym or exercising at home, reading a good novel, calling a friend, Twittering or surfing the internet, taking a hot bath, getting a massage at a spa, cleaning the house. Take some time to think about what activities you find interesting and attention-grabbing. Be sure to include some activities that you can do on the spur of the moment. The most important aspect of this technique is to plan ahead so that you're ready with an alternative activity when your body tells you it's ready for an impulsive behavior. Fire drilling. Fire drilling is a technique you can use to handle the emotional spikes that precede impulsive behavior. These upticks in emotions aren't always highly negative, and they're not always extremely intense. For instance, when you're experiencing boredom, you may impulsively seek excitement through sexual seduction, risky driving, or spending sprees. Other times, a positive event, such as receiving an unexpected bonus or a compliment from a friend, can trigger the desire for even more positive feelings, and in turn, can lead to the impulsive behaviors you think are necessary to obtain them. Tip: if extremely powerful and negative emotional outbursts typically trigger your impulsivity, we suggest that you take a look at Chapter 16 for ideas on how to deal with explosive emotions. After doing so, you can return to this chapter to find out more about inhibiting your impulses. Fire drilling consists of taking the following steps. 1. Make a list of coping self-statements that you can say to yourself instead of acting on your impulses. We discuss these statements in detail right after these steps. 2. Imagine situations that tend to trigger your impulses. See the Increasing Your Awareness of Impulsive Behavior section earlier in this chapter. And picture yourself using the coping self-statements rather than indulging in your impulses. 3. Replay these scenes in your mind over and over again. 4. Finish the scenes with some sort of self-congratulatory gesture, such as telling yourself what a great job you did. So, what is a coping self-statement? Coping self-statements are what you say to yourself to help you deal with emotions like boredom, cravings for excitement, or anxiety. Often these statements help remind you of the reasons you want to control your impulses rather than act on them. Here are a few examples of coping self-statements. I can always indulge in this impulse later, so why don't I delay it for a while first? I may not like these urges, but they do go down when I give them enough time. I realize that my impulsiveness is hurting me. I just need to come up with a distraction. See the Doing Something Different section for some distracting activities. Each time I hold my impulses at bay, I am increasing my resolve and strength. I want to feel proud of my efforts instead of constantly feeling like I've messed up. Feelings don't have to be acted on. What feels good in the short run often feels terrible over the long haul. Just because I want something doesn't mean that I need it. Go through this list and pick a coping self-statement or two that you think may help you increase your resolve. Or make up one or more similar statements that have more meaning for you. Consider writing these statements down in a notebook or computer file for easy reference. Make a point at least 3 or 4 times each day to practice imagining yourself in a situation that makes you want to be impulsive and that allows you to use one of your coping self-statements. Refer to the Increasing Your Awareness of Impulsive Behavior section earlier in this chapter to find out what situations trigger your impulsiveness. You can use those triggers in conjunction with the fire drilling technique to better prepare yourself to deal with your impulses. Tip: when you imagine these triggering situations, make sure you also picture yourself using your coping self-statements over and over again. You may wish to use several of them at one time. Let your mind conjure up a scene of success in which you inhibit your impulse with one of your statements. Then tell yourself what a terrific job you did. Repeated practice of such scenes will likely enhance your self-control in the long run. Seeking healthier alternatives. Risky and impulsive behaviors are often attempts to satisfy a need for excitement. That need, which psychologists call sensation-seeking, is partly the result of a genetic predisposition. Some people are born with a strong desire for stimulation and thrills, while others prefer tamer and safer activities. You may have heard the term adrenaline junkie to describe a person with this tendency for excitement. People with BPD are much more likely than people without the disorder to exhibit this need for excitement, which is rooted in their genes and biology. So it makes sense that the impulsive behaviors most associated with BPD involve risk and sometimes danger. If you experience this intense need for excitement, you may engage in activities that get you in trouble from time to time. You may also enjoy some of these activities so much that you don't want to give them up. The thought of boredom is worse than the risk you take to pursue the activity. Well, we're not asking you to lead a life of complete safety and dullness. We're simply asking you to look for ways to achieve excitement that don't involve risking your life or the lives of others. Seeking healthier alternatives involves acknowledging the need for excitement and finding activities that satisfy this need. These healthier alternatives are different from your impulsive behaviors because they won't lead you to jail time or trouble with others. These healthier sensation-seeking activities can involve playing on a softball team or hang gliding. Here are a few other examples of healthy alternatives to impulsive behavior: rock climbing, rodeo riding, bungee jumping, following high rope courses, skydiving, car racing, whitewater rafting, taking part in equestrian competitions, scuba diving, heliskiing, backpacking, mountain climbing, mountain bike riding, participating in extreme sports, hot air ballooning, skateboarding, taking flying lessons, competing in adult sports teams, kayaking, adventure traveling, skiing. Warning: some of these activities are indeed a bit dangerous. Approach them with as much care and training as possible. Indulge in such endeavors using common sense. Hopefully, these activities can provide you a healthier outlet for your need for sensation and stimulation. Oh, yeah. And how about wearing a helmet, too? Not all people who crave excitement need to compete in sports or perform difficult physical feats to attain the sensation they're looking for. Some people find excitement in changing jobs or occupations, tackling a difficult project at home, playing competitive poker or bridge, debating politics with friends, watching the stock market go up and down, exploring unusual foods and spices, completing advanced degrees, day trading on the stock exchange, or even writing For Dummies books. Did we really say that? The point is, you can find stimulation in many activities that aren't self-destructive. Remember, your sensation-seeking need isn't all bad. If you temper your need, you can appreciate it as a quality that makes you interesting.